Please do be seated. Thank you for that beautiful improvisation. It gave me a chance to sway a little, which is pertinent to today's sermon. For as you may or may not know, anyone who listens long enough will hear me bang on about this, I've been taking dance lessons for a while now. In fact, I even mentioned it on my Ascension Day sermon. I said a long time ago I didn't dance because bits of me didn't stop until after the rest of me had. So I felt kind of self-conscious about that. My fiancé and I, though, have been doing ballroom dance lessons. And in the last year, we've done an introduction to cha-cha, rumba, tango, and waltz. And at the moment, we're doing West Coast swing. Great. Don't expect the first dance to be anything special. I love dancing, but I make no claims to being good at it. But I don't feel the need to quote William H. Macy in the movie Wild Hogs anymore. When asked to dance, he said, "I'd love to. The music moves me, but it moves me ugly." But what I do need, and what my current dance teacher, John DePfeiffer, does so well, is to see how it's done before I get the hang of the steps. Describing it's no good. If I stand up here and go, "Okay, West Coast swing, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, quick, quick, quick. Are you ready to start now? Shall we all get up?" No? No, I need to see it. And John, with seemingly infinite patience, I have to say, demonstrates again and again the steps that make up the routines. He does it with such ease and fluidity that sometimes I lose myself in the concept of the dance rather than trying to absorb it and copy it and do what I'm being shown. But in the end, watching the dance is all very well. But until I actually do it, it's all detached and it's all theory. Our gospel for today begins with Philip saying to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus responds with, "Where have you been, Philip?" Philip has been watching the dance and not joining in, it seems. This Jesus thing is all very well in theory, but he doesn't seem to be engaged with it. Philip seems to think there's an extra level to it. Show us the Father. Share the divine with us. What's behind the curtain, Jesus? And Jesus says, there is no curtain. There is no secret. There's no arcane knowledge. The key is not to know more, but to see what's there right in front of you. If you've seen me, Jesus responds, you have seen the divine. At the risk of sounding like the song we sang interminably in elementary school, "I am the Lord of the dance," said he. This is how people will see the divine. Not through secret knowledge revealed, or through clever argument, or through the labyrinthine corridors of doctrine, but through us, we who are the carriers of the divine life and the divine dancers. And the message of Pentecost is just this, that the life of God is shed abroad for all. Peter proclaims, quoting the book of Joel in our reading from Acts this morning, that God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." No one is excluded. This is not a limited one-time offer. All should be a part. All should understand. All should know this gift in their own language. Some years ago, I read Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. You may have heard of it. It is very popular. It talks of the ways in which people feel loved. For some, he says, it's words of affirmation. For others, it's acts of service. For others, it's affectionate touch. For others, it's the gift of being given time. And for others, it's the reception of thoughtful gifts, however small. Likewise, the love language we prefer, those things that make us feel loved, are the ones we tend to use towards other people to show affection. But those who share our lives, our partners or others, may not get the same feeling of being loved if we use a language that doesn't work with them. giving gifts to someone who feels love when they are hugged or caressed does not communicate love in the same way that we might expect it to. It's a bit like shouting very loudly in French at someone who only speaks Japanese. It's not going to aid good communication. The message of the Spirit is spoken in whatever language we need. But the ultimate language of the divine is love. Not doctrine or dogma, nor even tradition or liturgy, but love. Love that comes in the form of service, of speaking and acting against injustice, of radical inclusion, of hospitality, of affirmation, of welcome, of support. Love that comes in the language that people need to hear, not the language that we choose to speak in or want them to hear. I sat in a restaurant on Main Island, I have a jet-setting lifestyle these days, on Friday, and I listened to two men talking about a friend of theirs. Yes, I was eavesdropping, but they were so loud I didn't really have a choice. They talked initially about their annoyance that no one had turned up to their prayer breakfast, and then the importance of getting people on an alpha course, and then about a friend of theirs who they loved dearly, who was a great guy, but who needed Jesus. There was this expectation, and it saddened me, that unless someone believed and saw the way that they did, they somehow were not quite there. At least that's how their high-volume conversation sounded. And more than anything, that sadness made me feel that they couldn't celebrate the person that they were saying was a great person unless there was something added. To offer someone the language of love and affirmation and grace is not to expect them to be like us. We might want to offer them the invitation to the dance, to talk of transformation. We might want people to buy into a way of love and justice, but we aren't called to change them. We are called to love them. Thomas Merton says that our job is not to ask if people are worthy. Our job is simply to love. When that unconditional love language offers an invitation to join the dance, an invitation to be part of the community of grace, it also frees people up to be themselves whoever and however they are. Then we are inviting and hopefully inspiring people to see the divine, and then we are showing the divine. When we lead by sharing the steps, allowing others to learn the dance, either to join in or find their own dance, then we are, I believe, much more joining in the life of Pentecost than when we preach to, or worse, at people. Just this week I saw a cartoon called Coffee with Jesus. It's part of a series of comic strips that shows a rather mellow, stereotypical image of Jesus with the beard and the long hair, but sitting in a coffee shop in a business suit with a cup of coffee and being asked questions. In this particular edition, an enthusiastic man in a baseball cap emblazoned with a landscaping company logo asked Jesus if he should put a Christian symbol in the bottom of all of his advertising. And Jesus says, why? And he says, to let people know I'm a Christian. To which Jesus in the cartoon responds, why don't you just leave it off and see if they can see by your quality of work, your work ethic, and your honesty? Jesus showed the divine by all that he did and what he said. He told his followers to do the same and that they would do the same and more through the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit, the advocate that empowers each one of us. This is the Spirit poured out at Pentecost. The Spirit that teaches us the language of love. And that language of love is the way in which we will point to the Spirit poured out for all people. When we as a spiritual community, a community of faith, speak that language, the language of Pentecost, all can see the way of the divine and can respond for themselves to that promise of life and of love. Thanks be to God. Amen.